guess I'm selfish. Justin Timberlake, Selfish at 92.9. All right, the rim shot is ready to go, and that can only mean one thing. We've got our joke for an oak ready to go. If you've got a radio-friendly, hilarious joke, tell us all about it. FM929.com.au. You could be winning a delicious delivery of oak-flavoured milk on us. Georgie, thank you so much for your entry. FM929.com.au. Why does Edward Woodward have four D's in his name? If he didn't, his name would be Ewar Warwa. It's an honourable mention. Thanks for that, Georgie. FM929.com.au. John, an honourable mention as well. What do the Eiffel Tower and ticks have in common? They are both parasites. Yeah, well done, John. An honourable mention there as well. Thank you. But our winner goes to Amanda. Congratulations, Amanda. A fantastic entry being sent through for our joke for an oak this week. FM929.com.au. What do you call cheese that isn't yours? Nacho cheese. Hey, that's good, isn't it? Love that. Nacho cheese. Get it? Nacho cheese. It's good. You're probably thinking, JB, an extra rim shot does not make that joke good. Anyway, it was good enough for Amanda to win a delicious delivery of oak-flavoured milk. Amanda will be out tomorrow in the 92.9 White Knight dropping off that delicious delivery of oak-flavoured milk. And if you would love to be a winner like Amanda, next Wednesday, win yourself that delicious delivery of oak-flavoured milk. Submit your radio-friendly joke now, fm929.com.au. Good luck. We've got more prizes to give away next. Who can you do? Head off to the Tronga Western Plains Zoo on us. We'll play that after this from 21 Pilots. I just want to stay in the sun where I find...
Brew.
We'll have more about that coming up in our local news in about 15 minutes' time here at 92.9. JB for breakfast, and lovely to catch up with the Brickman from Lego Masters. How are you, mate?
I'm awesome. How about you?
Yeah, very well, very well. Thank you so much for catching up. We are loving this brand new season of Lego Masters Australia versus the world. I love this sort of switch up, this change up. You must be loving it as well.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. When we say Australia versus the world, it's pretty much just Australia trying to beat America, usually. That's that role, isn't it?
That's true. Yeah, good point. That's a very good point. Does it amaze you every... Like, this is the sixth season now of Lego Masters. Every single season, you must be surprised at some of the amazing creations that people make out of Lego. That must just blow your mind.
Yeah, look, I don't know if surprise is the right word. More just like, I guess, incredulity just at how incredible people are.
Yeah.
Creativity really does know no bounds. And what people are able to do, particularly under the pressure that we put them under, you know, with the clock and all of those kind of things, is amazing. So, yeah, I guess incredulity.
Six seasons now of Lego Masters. It mustn't... It wouldn't surprise you the success of Lego Masters. I remember back before the first season ever hit the air, there was a little bit of a fence sitting about how well this was going to go. I imagine you didn't have that.
No, definitely not. I mean, I've always known just how popular Lego is, and you know how much people love it and all of that kind of stuff. So, from my perspective, there was certainly no, you know, shock or surprise. I think what really did manage to catch most people was just, you know, how much fun we can have on the show and what that translates to from a viewing experience. And so when you have someone like Hamish on board, it kind of makes it even cooler.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. It's one of those things where it's honestly, I'm surprised no one did it earlier. I mean, you know, Lego has been the highest selling toy on the planet for what, 5 or 6 decades now. I'm amazed that no one was doing Lego Masters on TV back in the 70s and the 80s.
Well, it's kind of a thing, isn't it? You know, we kind of add a whole nother level to it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. No, sensational. You are one of 21 certified Lego experts, Lego professionals in the world, and you're the only one in the Southern Hemisphere as well. For kids listening on school holidays at the moment who want to become the next brick man, how do you become one of the 21 only in the world certified professional Lego masters?
Well, the first thing is please wait until I retire, because I've still got a mortgage to pay, so no stealing the job just yet, if that's okay with the youngsters. But they're probably going to hate me, truth be told, because you've really got to be good at maths. Oh. So, unfortunately, you've got to pay attention to all those maths that you think to yourself, oh, I'm never going to use trigonometry in real life. Unfortunately, I pretty much use it on a daily basis. So, unfortunately, kids, maths is the answer.
That must be why I never made it. My Lego creating skills never made it out of my lounge room. That must be why, because I'm hopeless with maths. So, there you go. You've solved it.
I've got
my answer. Yeah, no. So it does, because I guess it's one of those things where it is all about, it's a little bit of a mixture of science and art, really, professional Lego building, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly you have to have a creative element to come up with the idea of whatever it is that you're going to make, and, you know, you have to be able to picture it in your mind, what you're trying to achieve. But then there's also the technical side of it, where you've got to execute whatever it is that you're imagining too. So it's one of those things that requires a couple of different types of skills.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you do, you run a business where you go around and you, create Lego art and Lego creations. And you do have, you've got a team of staff that work for you that basically do this as a career as well, I understand.
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah, so there's 36 of us in the office, in the team, and we're responsible not only for things that you find like in the Lego store and all of those kind of wonderful big creations that you see everywhere, but we have exhibitions that are touring around the world of different types. We have, you know, ones about architecture. We've got Jurassic World. We've got big dinosaurs, all sorts of different stuff like that. So, yeah, the team are very, very creative, and I'm very lucky to have them.
Take us through the bricks. You've obviously limited to what Lego create with the different varieties of bricks, and there's heaps out there. Can you be cheeky and you can contact your friends at Lego and they can create a brick for something that you need, or is that no-no? You've got to work within the confines of what us consumers can purchase.
Yeah, no, definitely we're limited. We only can use the same bricks that everybody else uses. I've got a wish list of about 6 or 7 bricks that I would dearly love Lego to make, and I've sucked up to the right people. I've bought beers where appropriate for those people, but I've had absolutely no luck, I'm afraid.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right. How often do they do... I know we're getting into the real nitty-gritty now of the science of Lego. How often do they do new bricks? Is that a really rare thing?
It's not a really rare thing. Usually, whenever new Lego sets come out, sometimes they'll have, you know, 1 or 2 new pieces in it, or it might be an existing piece, but it comes in a new colour, for example.
Yeah.
So that's quite a common occurrence. But as it stands today, Lego has about 10,000 different parts in its palette. So there's a lot to choose from. And what usually happens here, we're really nerding out here, but what usually happens is that to bring in a new part, it means a part will get retired.
Oh, so right.
We kind of have to hope that the good ones don't disappear for the new ones to come in.
Of course. Yeah, right. Okay. No, that makes sense. Did you grow up with Lego as a kid, or was this something that you came to the party late, maybe through having, I know you're a dad, through your kids?
Well, I loved it as a kid. I thought it was the ant's pants. I got my first Lego set when I was 3. My grandmother, Hazel, bought it for me. And ironically, it cost 29 cents from Coles, that very first Lego set that I got. Unfortunately, it doesn't cost 29 cents from Coles anymore nowadays.
No.
But I loved it as a kid. And I played with it up until I was probably about 13 or 14. And it kind of became uncool, you know, it was seen as a kid's toy back in those days. So I pretty much stopped playing with it. And then when I've got twin boys, when they sort of came along, my mum had actually kept my Lego.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you better have your junk back. And I got back into Lego that way.
I love that. That is amazing. What was that first set, when the 29-cent one?
Yeah, it was a little blue boat. And to give you an idea of how old I am, Lego minifigures, the little dudes and dudettes, they didn't even exist back in those days.
So, oh, wow. Yeah,
quite a long time ago.
Wow. I still remember my first Lego set. I was six, and it was a little, like, wizard. It was a little Merlin dude. And awesome. He had a little, like, tree house cavey thing. And that was the very first Lego set I ever purchased, and that's kind of just stuck with me. I don't know whether I think, unlike your parents, as soon as I moved out of home, everything got binned. So I think that's at a dump somewhere, unfortunately. So I'm sure, who knows, it might be worth something now.
You probably need to have a serious talk to Mum and maybe, you know, find out what the deal is.
Yes, that's it. Hey, we are absolutely loving Lego Masters on Channel 9, Australia versus the World. And Brickman, thank you so much for the chat this morning. Really appreciate it. Talk again soon.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Have a great one. It's beautiful things
that I've got. That is Benson Boone at 92.9 JB for breakfast for Country Autos, Quality Used Cars and Service Centre. 8:43. Apparently, so I was chatting with Brickman before. He was talking about, you know, old Lego sets when you were a kid, yada, yada, yada. And I mentioned how all my old Lego got destroyed when I moved out of home. My parents threw it all out and everything. What? I've since found out they kept it. They've got it. They just confirmed on text message. Yeah, good. Yeah. They've kept it. It's in the shed.
So you just know, as a parent, you know these things.
Yeah.
It's like some of Ali's toys. I'm like, it's probably going to be worth money. I'm going to put that away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Skull Island set, which was the biggest Lego set I had as a kid, I got it for Christmas and birthday combined present.
Because it was expensive.
Yeah, one of those ones. I think it was maybe about, I don't know, $250 in like 1995.
That's a lot of money in 1995.
Yeah.
Wow. Privileged.
Brick.
just tell me you're rich.
Yeah.
Who's the one with the yacht now?
Bricklink.com values old Lego sets.
Okay.
If you're curious, check it out. It's $207 on Bricklink.
Okay.
So,
it's kind of devalued, hasn't it?
It's devalued. It's gone backwards. Oh. So, but anyway, that's all right.
Oh, wow.
That's with no boxes on. Apparently, my dad did confirm that the boxes are still there as well. So, obviously, the items aren't in the boxes, but you've kept the boxes. Okay. Although they're in my dad's shed, though, so I reckon the box would be in shit-ass quality.
Yeah.
Be terrible quality. So, but anyway.
It's like got holes in it. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Did you what toy in particular did you have growing up as a kid that you appreciated? Mine's obviously Lego, surprise. Did you have anything, anything that stands out?
I went through lots of different phases, but I think the two that stand out for me was I was a big fan of like those baby dolls, and then I also had like Barbie dolls.
Of course.
Yeah.
The real life baby dolls you're talking about?
Yeah, the ones where it's like you pretend to be a mum.
Yeah. But not the ones you were given at school that they actually gave you as an educational toy.
No, I didn't get those. I don't think that's a thing that they do anymore.
Well, definitely not in New South Wales.
Is that how to say I'm old without saying I'm old?
No, I'll tell you.
I'm a year younger than you. We didn't do that. Was that a city thing, maybe? Because I
might be an Adelaide thing.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't, because I didn't do this. I think it might have been home economics or something like that, where they gave you the baby to look after.
Mm.
I didn't get it because I didn't do that subject, but I certainly remember girls and guys walking around with the little model baby they had to keep alive over a weekend.
Wow.
So
we didn't do that.
So yeah, right.
Yeah.
I have to ask on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Or 676-2929. Is that still a thing?
It should be.
So it needs to be a thing, I think.
I just feel like a doll isn't anywhere near the same as a real baby. It's, like, at all. Especially when you're a teenager.
But when it's crying at 3 a.m.
Yeah, which these ones did. And you had to wake up and turn the key in its back to shush it.
Yeah, but couldn't
it was that easy.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, that's what I mean. It's like, that's not the same thing, like, at all. But,
close enough. Did you have a toy growing up in particular that you have fond memories of, Ames?
I didn't have Lego.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Mum, Dad, why didn't we have Lego in the house? But Barbie.
Barbie.
We're not surprised. It's Barbie and Polly Pocket.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah, I could get around some of that.
I'm sure my mum still has the box full of all my old Barbies, and my nan used to make clothes. My nan's a dressmaker.
Oh, so cool.
I used to have all these dolls' clothes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
She was really, really good.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I've still got all my Barbies somewhere.
Polly Pocket says a blast from the past.
Yeah, Polly Pocket.
Oh my gosh.
And the male version was Mad Max.
Really?
The boys' version. Yeah, they had Mad Max, which was like, Mighty Max. Mighty Max.
Wow.
And Polly Pocket was the girl edition.
We used to have a lot of Matchbox cars too.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah,
yeah. For the sand pit.
Same.
And Hot Wheels, because they went faster.
Hot Wheels leading the way.
Dude, we are doing a nostalgic trip, aren't we? Hey? 8:47 at 92.9, JB for breakfast for Country Auto's Corner Used Cars and Service Center. Time to catch up with Dr. Alison Gould. She is in the research and development team at Lifeblood. Dr. Alison, thank you so much for your time. How are you?
I'm really well. Thanks for having me on, JD.
No, my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your availability. Got to chat to you about blood groups, blood types. I guess some of us are lucky enough to know what our blood type is, certainly if you obviously go and donate at any of your Australian Red Cross Lifeblood centres, then you'll find out what blood type you have. Tell us a little bit about blood types. How many are there? What's the breakdown, I guess, of different blood types amongst the population?
Most of your listeners have probably heard of blood types like A, B, O, and positive and negative. So there's, from those three different things, there's eight different blood types that people commonly know of. So there's things like A, B, AB, and O, and each of those will have a positive or negative on it. And I could talk a bit more about that in a minute if you like. But the other thing is that there are heaps more blood types than that. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's up to hundreds and hundreds of actual different blood types that we know of. So most of them we don't routinely match for, but some of them we actually do. Would you like me to talk you through how your A, B, and O give you about eight different common blood types? Yeah, so look, I would actually like your listeners to imagine that red blood cells are like a donut because they're about the right shape.
Yeah.
And it makes understanding this a lot easier. So what determines your blood type is little bits of stuff on the outside of your red blood cells. And if you're technically oriented, you can call them antigens, their proteins, carbohydrates, and stuff like that. So each of those blood types is like one little marker on the outside of your red cell, or in this case, if you're thinking donuts, it's one kind of thing that you can stick on your donut.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to imagine that you're running a donut shop and you have your donuts, you've got chocolate icing, you've got strawberry icing, and you've got sprinkles. That's all you've got available to you. What is your photo menu going to look like? Think about it. You'll have one row where you've got your plain donut, one with chocolate icing, one with strawberry icing, and one with half and half. Cool one and half chocolate and strawberry. So that is just like if you think of the A and B antigens that determine your blood group. So imagine the A is the chocolate icing and the B is the strawberry icing. And so if you think of that menu that you're visualizing in your head, you've got your plain cinnamon donut. That's O because it doesn't have A or B antigens on, so it's nothing. We call that O. And then the chocolate one is type A. The strawberry one is type B.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's got a bit of both, we call AB.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then when you think of positive and negative, that's the other ingredient you have available in your donut shop, sprinkles. And we'll call that the RH antigen. So all of those ones we've looked at the top would be negative. And then you put sprinkles on all of them and they would be O negative, O positive, A positive, B positive, and so on. So you can see that three different toppings can give you eight different blood types. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, no, incredible. And some are more popular. I guess to keep up with the donut analogy, some donuts sell better than other donuts. Some people have more popular blood types than others.
Absolutely. And there's popular and there's common. Two different things,
yes.
Right? once again, let's go back to that donut analogy. Like, if somebody has some kind of food intolerance, they're going to want the plainest donut available. And that's your O negative. Mm-hmm. So it's your plain cinnamon donut, O negative blood type. And that's the one that we use, that doctors use in case of an emergency where they don't know what blood group someone is, they don't know what their body can tolerate, so they give them the plainest version that they can possibly have, which is O negative.
Yep.
And O negative makes up about 7% of the population, but currently about 18 or 19% of our orders are for O negative. So if you've got any O neg donors out there and they feel like they're getting called upon pretty often,
yep,
that is why, because they're very sought after. And sometimes we call them unicorns. And the most common blood type in Australia is the O positive. So that one's 38% of the population are O positive.
Yep.
So generally the positive blood types have a higher percentage in the population than the negative ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is actually increasing with time because Southeast Asian and Asian people of that sort of ethnic origin, the negative blood type is very, very rare. So as we're getting a more diverse population, we're getting more and more positive blood types.
It's sort of strangely ironic as well, going back to sort of the supply and demand. You've got more demand for a type of blood that we have less of as well, which is kind of ironic in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, like it makes our O negative people even more unicorns.
Yeah,
and it's also making hospitals and administrators look at when we really need to use O negative and where we might be able to use O positive.
Yeah.
So that's going to depend on where you live, who the person is you're giving it to, and all that kind of thing. So there are some changes afoot in that space, but we still need it. If people are O negative, please come on in. Or if you don't know your blood type, come on in.
Hey, Dr. Allison, some amazing insights there into blood groups, blood types. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, Allison.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Going back to 1994 there, the year that Ames was playing with Barbie dolls.
1984?
No, 1994.
Oh, I was about to say.
When Ames was
playing
with...
So there's a lot going on. There's a guy playing music next door and my daughter's in the other room sticking glitter to the window.
You were playing with Barbie dolls.
Yes.
I was playing with Lego. Yeah. And Amelia was minus three.
Yep.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. Or not, apparently. So. Anyway.
Hey, who can you do to go to the zoo? Amelia's going to play that again after 10 and Ames again this afternoon as well. We had a very good impersonation from Mick this morning being a monkey.
Oh, yeah.
Which was very good. So you're in the draw, Mick. Good luck. Of course, our favourite impersonation at the end of the week will win that pass to the Taronga Western Plains Zoo in Dubbo. On the show tomorrow, catch up with Michael, our platypus keeper from the Taronga Western Plains Zoo. We're finding out all about the paradoxical life of the platypus.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They are. They're the only animal that can make custard. Michael will tell you more about that in the morning. So tune in for that.
I don't know if I'm grossed out or not.
So... No, well, how Michael explains it makes sense. You'll be grossed out, and then when he explains it, you'll go, "Oh yeah, cool. I like that."
Well, like, are we just saying custard, like, to replace a different bodily fluid, or do they actually make custard, like, with they don't have hands?
Attention, all passengers traveling on Link Airways flight 989 to Brisbane. Your departure time is.